Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Thank you. So before I begin, I'd like to thank the organizer for hosting Spring 2001 in India, which has been very stimulating and excellently organized. And I also would like to thank them for giving me the opportunity to present this talk. So I'd like to tell you how non-commutative gauge theory coupled to gravity. And this talk is based on my work with Yuji Okawa, who is a postdoc at Caltech. And the paper has appeared in the last century. Now, so the motivation of this work is to study coupling of non-commutative gauge theory on brains to closed string in the bulk. And the purpose of this are threefolded. There are three interesting motivations for that. One is to understand what are the gauge invariant observables in the non-commutative theory. The second is to understand the dual gravitational description at large n, which I will discuss towards the end of this talk. And then, in general, understanding how non-commutative theory can be defined in more general curved spaces. As Smith does explain to you in his talk just before me, that this third question is closely related to the question of how to define matrix theory in curved spaces. And this is a question that I, myself, and Mike Douglas has studied a few years ago, but hasn't gotten a completely satisfactory answer. So maybe answering this would help us understanding this problem also. Now, actually, this talk is very, very straightforward. What I'm going to do is just compute a disk amplitude and show you the operator. However, there are surprises. The first surprise is this, that one may have expected that operator that we are going to get in non-commutative theory reduces to their commutative counterpart in the limit of theta equals 0. And I'm going to show you that this is not always the case. The second surprise is that the operator that we found in bosonic string theories and superstring theories are in general different. Now, of course, the operator in superstring contains fermions, but what I meant by this is that the bosonic part of this disagrees with this in general. And I will tell you why and that happens. Now, so let me introduce you some of the notation that I'm going to use throughout this talk. So I'm going to use Romans for non-commutative direction on the brain. And the late Greeks are commutative direction. And the early Greeks are transverse to the brain. And it's important to distinguish closed string metric in the bulk and open string metric on the brain. And they are related by this relation. And theta is inverse of the NS-NS2 form. We are going to take the limit where alpha prime is 0 so that we extract the non-commutative gauge theory degrees of freedom. Now, one of the key ingredients of this talk, and I cannot stress this point more, is that the bulk boundary propagator, which I'm going to use extensively on the worksheet in order to compute this disk amplitude, simplifies very much in the limit of alpha prime goes to 0. It just becomes this tau function, which is given here. And the property of this tau function is it monotonically increases starting from 0 at t equal minus infinity to 1 to plus infinity. And it becomes half just below the point where z is projected onto the real axis. So these are the notations. And I'm going to keep this transparency here for the moment. Now, let me very briefly review for you how one obtains star product in this limit. And this is a review. So we start with computing correlation function of open string operator on the boundary. P is a momentum. In the limit that we are considering, the correlation function on the boundary is a step function. So the weak rule gives you this formula. And you can Fourier transform this formula back into coordinate space and obtain this formula. Now, when I show you this formula, I would like to stress the fact that in the limit of alpha prime going to zero that we are taking, the on-shell condition for open strings are trivial. And stated in another way, there are no anomalous dimensions for these operators in this limit. So that's why we can take f to be an arbitrary function of x. And so not only they don't have to satisfy equation of motion as far as open strings are concerned. So, and then we get this standard star product in this kind of computation. These are all very clearly explained in the paper by Zeiberg and Witten, and I just reviewed that. Now, I would like to generalize this computation by adding a closed string tachyon here. So this is the operator in the bulk. Clearly, if you have an operator in the bulk on the string worksheet, then we have to use the bulk boundary propagator. And this is a very, very simple exercise of weak contraction rule to show that with this operator, we get almost a formula like that, except that the location of the open strings are shifted by the amount of L times tau, where L is a vector that I define here, which has also appeared in the previous talk. And so, but those locations are shifted. Now it's quite important that tau goes from 0 to infinity as t goes from minus infinity to plus infinity. So that means that as you change the location of this vertex, open string vertex operator on the boundary of the disk from minus infinity to plus infinity, these open string states, fields, are moved from this location to this location along the straight line. And this is the first indication that this type of computation involves something like open line, or what is going to become an open Wilson line. Well, this is very, I'm going to use this for the rest of my talk, so I hope this is clear. If there is any question now, please ask. Otherwise, I will continue. Now, it's very straightforward to generalize this computation when I replace this function f by gauge field. Namely, now I consider the case when you have a gauge field on the boundary. So as in the previous transparency, what happens is that the location of these gauge fields after weak contraction are shifted by the amount of L times tau. But this dx dt is also modified, and it becomes L times d tau over dt. And this form suggests that we should change the parameterization of the boundary from t, which goes from minus infinity to plus infinity, to tau, which goes from 0 to 1. And this formula has a straightforward, we can sum this formula to exponentiate the gauge field. And this is the exact formula. So what it shows is that if you have a closed string operator in the bulk of the worksheet, add this open string interaction, what you get is this operator. And this is what has been called in the literature as a straight open Wilson line. And Smith thus explained very nicely why this operator is important, why this is gauge invariant, et cetera. So I don't have to repeat that. But all I wanted to say is that this straight Wilson line arises very naturally from the zero slope limit of the open string computation. And there are many literatures which discuss this operator. I apologize that I'm not listing all the papers, but the space permits this much. Now, so this is still a computational correlation function of conformal field theory, but we can use this formula, turn this into string theory S matrix computation, and extract a gauge theory operator. This is all explained in detail in my paper with Okawa, so I'm not going to repeat that, and I'm only going to present the result. So this is a complete expression for gauge theory operator couples to closed string tachyon in the bulk. And here, I have also included the scalar field, phi of alpha, which characterizes the transverse location of the brain. So phi is this additional scalar field, which in the supersymmetric case is a superpartner of the gauge field. Y is related to the momentum of the in this case tachyon, in the direction transverse to the brain, and L is as usual appearing here. Now, unlike the case of open string on the boundary, the closed string state has to satisfy on-shell condition. In the limit that we are taking, you can easily show that tachyon on-shell condition becomes this condition. So that means that gauge invariant operator that coupled to closed string tachyon is this open Wilson line with scalar field attached to it, obeying this on-shell condition. Now, there are a few comments I would like to make. First is that the momentum, so please remember that the late Greeks are commutative directions. So momentum in commutative directions are arbitrary. It doesn't appear here. It only appear here, doesn't contribute, participate in the on-shell condition. So we can do the inverse Fourier transformation to define a local operator in the commutative direction. However, we cannot do that for the non-commutative direction because momentum is actually constrained by the on-shell condition. So if you fix y, the magnitude of k in the non-commutative direction is fixed, so we cannot take the inverse Fourier transformation. Of course, this is only for the operator coupled to closed string state, so there can be a way to define local operator in other way. But as far as you are interested in gauge invariant operator coupled to closed string state, this is as much as I can do. Now, the third important point is that this on-shell condition, although I derived this for tachyon case here, but is actually universal and applies for any string excited state. And for example, for graviton that I'm going to discuss in the next transparency, the open Wilson line obeys the same condition. And this will play an important role in my discussion of the dual gravitational description towards the end of this talk. So I explained to you basically how I obtained the straight open Wilson line. The computation is very straightforward, and we can generalize it to the case of graviton. And as I said at the very beginning, the result is different whether you do it in superstring or bosonic string. So let me first discuss the expression in the case of superstring. So this looks rather complicated, but so you need to train your eye a little bit. So here is the open Wilson line, and here thetas are used to raise the indices. There are two additional integrals, so you basically are smearing out those operators, one here, the other here, and they are contracted in this way. Now, if you have energy momentum tensor, there are various checks that you have to make. One is to see whether this result is consistent with the action of the non-commutative theory derived by Zeiberg and Witten. And so this action is the action for non-commutative gauge theory that they derived when the metric is constant. So we should be able to compare the variation of this action with respect to constant metric with this energy momentum tensor in the limit of zero momentum. And they completely agree, of course. Otherwise, I would not be talking about that here. But it's very important to point out that the result is slightly different from the ordinary case. For example, the coupling constant depends on the bulk metric. So it turns out that this combination, square root of determinant of capital G divided by G Amir square, is independent of the bulk metric, and you need to use that in order to get this agreement. So let me put this here. Now, another important test that you have to make when you have an energy momentum tensor is to test whether it is conserved. So here is the answer. The answer is yes. But the way that it is conserved is very interesting. So let me take a little bit of time to explain how it works. So you want to prove this is conserved. So what you're going to do is to multiply ki to this one. Now, you multiply ki here. Ki times theta is L. So you get F multiplied by L. That's what I have it here. OK? Now, if you look at this one, you see that this can be written as covariant derivative acting on this Wilson line, because derivative brings down F. But this A is contracted with L, but that is here also. So this is the identity. So this becomes derivative. And then since you have derivative, you can do the integration by part going through this and acting over here. That gives you equation of motion. I have skipped various parts. For example, when you do integration part, it can also hit e to the ikx. That brings down some other terms. And those shift of 1 over thetas are there in order to cancel those terms. So Oka and I spend a couple of days checking in detail how it works, and it works perfectly. So this is conserved, as it should. Now, the third thing you might expect is that this energy momentum tensor should reduce to that of the commutative theory in the limit of theta goes to zero. It turns out that this is not the case on these three accounts. So let's compare. So this is a commutative energy momentum tensor of the commutative gauge theory in the commutative space. We have Gij, Gij to raise the indices. I'm using thetas here. And here, the field strength is shifted by the amount of theta inverse, which is important for the background independence. And also importantly, here we have minus quarter times Gij f square here, which is absent here. And actually, adding this term is not good because, first of all, this will spoil this nice conservation of energy momentum tensor that I said. This energy momentum tensor is already conserved, so if you add that, it's not conserved. And also, having this term would be inconsistent with the action that was written by Zeiberg and Witten in the limit of zero momentum. So these are very different. So one might be puzzled, how come that is possible? Well, that is possible in some sense because of the way that limit is taken. So one way to understand the origin of difference of the energy momentum tensor in commutative case and non-commutative case is that they come in different order in the alpha prime expansion. In commutative case, it comes in the linear order in alpha prime. Commutative case, it comes in the alpha prime to the cubic. And that's because you can get some dimension out of thetas. So that's one way to understand why there is this difference. So now, so this is a result for superstring. Now, result for bosonic string is also rather curious. And I want to understand this a little bit better. So this is an energy momentum tensor for bosonic case. This is an energy momentum tensor for super case. I highlighted some of the terms so that you can see the difference. They are very different. And so that's also surprising. But one way to understand it is that they come again in different order in alpha prime. This amplitude you have to compute to get this one is order alpha prime, as I said. But this one is actually of order 1 in the alpha prime expansion. And this vanishes, by the way, in the limit of zero momentum. So having this term is not inconsistent with the Zeiberg-Witten action. The very curious thing about this energy momentum tensor is it is kinematically conserved. And we are very puzzled about that at the beginning. So let me explain. Suppose I multiply ki to here. Going through here, I get li acting on f. But I have already li here. So I get li, lj acting on fij, which vanishes by the symmetry. For the second term, basically, you can use the integration by part to see that this vanishes. So I don't have to use the equation of motion to derive that this is conserved. So this is very funny. And I think that this suggests that in the case of a bosonic string, the coupling of the gauge theory to bulk metric is through the curvature of the metric. And for example, the reason that that is possible is that such a coupling vanishes in the flat space. So it doesn't affect the equation of motion in the flat space, in the flat background. So we can, if we have such a coupling, then you get an energy momentum tensor which is kinematically conserved. So for example, the example of this is the famous Feijin-Fuchs term or the linear Dilaton term in the free field realization of two-dimensional conformal field theory. That gives rise to a term in energy momentum tensor which is kinematically conserved. But having such a term is not a triviality. For example, in that case, has a physical effect of modifying conformal anomaly. So I'm suggesting that the term that we got here in bosonic string case is something like that. Now it's curious that that is absent in superstring, so maybe such a curvature coupling is prohibited by supersymmetry. But anyway, so that certainly is interesting to explore a little bit more. So I'm actually coming towards the end of my talk. So let me just make one more comment about the dual gravitational description of the theory. So for definiteness, let me talk about a case with n equal 4 supersymmetry in 4 dimensions. And so let me first discuss, thank you, the case when the theory is defined commutative space, which is well known. So if you have n equal 4 gauge theory in 4 dimensions in commutative space, you have dual theory is type 2b superstring in ADS5 cross S5. So let's discuss how the minimally coupled scalar field in the bulk behaves near the boundary. Well, this is how what you get by solving the Klein-Golden equation. So if you look at this behavior, you see that this exponent is independent of the momentum. So we can do the Fourier transformation in K to define a source localized on the boundary. On the other hand, we cannot do the same thing on S5 direction. And the reason is that this exponent depends on J, the spin of SO6. Now, in order to define a source localized on S5, we have to do the inverse Fourier transformation on the sphere, superimpose a state with different value of J. But if you do that at particular value of U0, you change U0, then you destroy this coherent superposition. So what happens is that even if you localize this source at a point in S5, as you go towards the boundary, it spreads all over S5. Now, the situation seems to be very different in the case of non-commutative theory. The bulk metric that we should use was derived by these authors. So if you solve the Klein-Golden equation in the same way, this is the asymptotic behavior. So you see that these exponents here depends on the momentum in non-commutative direction. So we cannot do the inverse Fourier transformation in that direction. That's not surprising. I have already mentioned earlier that there is no way to define local operator, at least if you use operators that couple to closed string state. That is what we are doing here. But we can localize this operator in the commutative direction because momentum in that direction does not appear in the exponent. But what is rather unusual is that these exponents are also independent of J. So that means that we can indeed localize the source in S5 direction. And actually, this fits well with the fact, for example, here, that the operator is parameterized by y as well as l. So y is a six-dimensional vector in this case, but its strength is determined by the on-shell condition, like that. So basically, you have a vector on S5. You have a coordinate. You can regard y as a coordinate on S5. So your natural gauge theory operator is parameterized by coordinate by a point on S5. So if you expand this in power y, you get operator with all different type of R charges. And you don't do that in commutative case, but this is a very natural thing to do in non-commutative case. So this seems to be a way, this seems to be a very natural way to define a map between computation in non-commutative gauge theory and its dual gravitational description. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
We have time for a couple of questions.
Can one learn from this any how non-commutative geometry may modify the structure of diffeomorphism invariants or general covariance?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question, and I hope that the understanding metric, the understanding the structure of the energy momentum tensor here will help us. But I should say that, for example, that this is conserved in the standard fashion. So the conservation of energy momentum tensor is related to the reparameterization of the graviton in the dual direction, and that's the standard form. So the coordinate transformation in the bulk seems to be unmodified. Of course, here I'm talking about the metric in the bulk. The metric that gauge theory fields directly is a so-called open string metric, whose reparameterizations are of different nature. So for example, if you do the reparameterization of closed string metric, then open string metrics are changed in a slightly different way because of the thetas around. Mm-hmm. So that would be a different question.
But you can consider D25 bringing bosonic string theory. There are, as you point out, the conservation is, I mean, it's kinematically conserved, the stress tensor. So in the bosonic string, there is some kind of difference, right?
Yeah, except that I'm a bit hesitant to consider D25 brain in bosonic string because there is a Dirathon tadpole. Yeah, yeah. So it's not it's difficult to discuss that background.
Any other questions? If there are no further questions, let's thank the speaker once again. The next speaker is